Hey, welcome to A Little Better. My name's Daniel. I'll be your host. And today we follow up all about open baptism here at Northridge Church as we wrap up our Church That series, talking about who should be baptized, our favorite stories from open baptism, and what's coming through the end of the year at Northridge Church. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Remember, our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit, do better so together we can be a little better. Hey, welcome to A Little Better, episode about open baptism this past Sunday. Thanks for bearing with us. If you're a normal listener, you're probably getting this episode a few days later, and it's because we had a crazy weekend. We had open baptism. What was the final count, Drew, of people that are baptized across all services, all campuses?
It usually takes us a week, but I saw on the weekly report, I think it's 100.
100?
100. We said 102.
Okay.
I saw on the weekly report 100, so I'm not sure exactly what the number is, but it's somewhere around 100 to 102.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of people got baptized. Awesome. And so are you still sore from,
I wouldn't sore? Say I'm sore at all from you can't be sore doing that thing, man. It's like, it's such powerful, amazing, emotional work. Not sore. I'm drained. I'm drained. Like, I feel like every part of me, my mental, my physical, and my spiritual, tank was just, unleashed. And, Monday morning was a bear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can believe that. That's for sure. Which, you didn't have to baptize all 100. We had Nate Miller out at Webster. He was dunking several
I took half of one for you.
Yeah.
That's right.
And there's a bunch of dads or, spiritual fathers or whatever you want to call that, that jumped in the tank at Rochester, at least that
It's funny. Everybody's so hesitant to be like, Drew, is it okay if I do this? I'm like, you better be in that
tank.
Like, there was
child.
A couple times where I'm like, do you want to baptize your son or daughter? And, certain people are like, yeah. Or some people are like, no. Or they wanted you to do it, Drew. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. But I just think that's, let me tell you something right now. If there was another person in there with Joelle, I would have jumped in there, threw that person out of the tank, and
real fast. So tell us really quickly, what was your favorite moment of open baptism? I can guess yours, but
mine's pretty obvious. Just seeing my daughter, I'm an emotional basket case. I've seen pictures. Taylor sent us pictures, and Ashley created a role, and I'm just so proud. I'm proud of how we, and this sounds like I'm bragging on myself, but I am. So I'm just proud of how we handled it, right? We never pressured Joelle to do it. It was all her choice. And I wasn't sure what she was going to do. I wasn't. And, she stood up at when I counted the three, she walked back there and I could tell when she got in the tank. She was terrified. She was nervous.
I mean, but the whole process too is I know Ashley. I worked the interview room, all three services except for the first one. When she was back there, she did the whole process by herself too. Ashley took her to the door and was like, "See ya."
Oh, man,
you're gonna have to do this by yourself.
And Frey Mapes interviewed her. She told me all about it. So
it was great. I saw her over there. I was like, wow, she's doing this by herself.
Well, and the thing I tried to teach her was this is an amazing moment in your life. But I was like, Joelle, you don't understand how you're an inspiring faith in other. So we invited a bunch of people and a bunch of kids her age came and watched. And I was like, you don't understand what that's doing in their hearts, leading them towards Jesus. I'm like, that's even almost as big as you taking this step of faith is what it's going to inspire in other people's faith. Yeah.
Some of our fourth and fifth grade classes, they came downstairs and just watched on the lobby TVs for some of the services, knowing that there were a few fourth and fifth graders or sixth graders getting baptized. And so that's really cool.
Yeah.
And this is what NYM doesn't understand, right? You don't see the evidence of this, but what really inspired Joelle to get baptized is I would say 3 years ago, we took her to a NYM baptism.
Okay.
And she saw younger kids being baptized. Mm. And from that moment on, she was like, Daddy, what is that about? why do they do that? I have a video of her talking about baptism as a little baby. It's like so crazy. It's so cute. She's like, yeah, one day I'm going to get baptized because God got baptized. And it's so cute. But what inspired her was somebody else's faith, mm-hmm. right? And it was a student in NYM, and she never stopped talking about it until she took that step. And so
wow.
those things we do that we never know who we inspire and who we push yeah. towards the cross, I think is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Brad, what about you? What was your favorite moment?
It's easy for me because a woman, Marsha, she's both Rochester and online. She's Rochester when she can make it, but she's, you know, was recovering from surgery on her foot and stuff. So she spent a lot of time yeah. in the online campus, and we've been, you know, she's great, you know, just in terms of getting to know her and see her mm-hmm. faith grow. And she texted me, I think on Thursday, and said, if I get baptized on Sunday, can you do it? And I'm just like, really choked up. And I'm thinking the answer is no, but I'm still really, mm-hmm. really honored that she would ask. And then I talked to Drew, was like, come on, absolutely. I don't get you, you know. And so now because of the surgery on her foot, I mean, I was less confident than Ashley because I walked with Marsha all the way through the process, you know, making sure, you know, the registration and yeah. Michelle interviewed her. And then we're walking up there. And I see one step, two step, and then I see how high that baptistry was. And I'm like, oh, Marsha, can we do this? You know,
it's not a small, like,
no,
tank, it's not, you know, like, yeah. in any regard. Yeah. Like, you look yeah. at it on stage, you're like, oh, that's pretty. And you get up there, it's like, yeah. it's like over your waist, you know, high. And
she was in a wheelchair not long ago on crutches, not yeah. long ago. And there yeah. she was, you know, and God protected her. She got over that wall. And then I pulled the Dave Miller because when she went down and came up, I was the one who slipped and fell.
I did see you go down over there. I was like, oh.
Yeah. And the Dave Miller, for everyone who doesn't know, our yeah. counseling pastor at Webster fell in after he baptized someone a couple of months ago.
He baptized someone else and himself all in the yeah. same month.
He got baptized, they got baptized, then they got baptized again.
And I just think, again, like Marsha and I think of Brandon, the boldness to be in front of a stage and have to slowly get that. That takes courage. People don't understand how nerve-wracking just to walk on stage and get in that tank. But when you have a surgery or wondering, like, am I going to be able to get in? I just think those are really powerful moments where, hey, your faith triumphs over your fear.
Yeah. Right. And I love that. Some of my favorite moments, I've strained my head the whole time you guys are talking, trying to narrow it down, from like the amount of volunteers that are present to actually pull this off, to the work that goes in front of time, to the interviewers, like everybody walking through that process.
Sure.
But also I think, you know, those people who had every reason to say no, like whether they had recovering from surgery or there was a gentleman in the first service who was literally physically handicapped in various ways, where it was very difficult for him to get baptized. Yeah. And he was like, no, I'm getting baptized. Yeah. Like, and right. so, and that, those are just the cool moments of faith boostering for myself of like, you had every reason. No one would have faulted you if you're like, you know what? I just had surgery. I'm going to wait. But instead of that, they're like, no, God's asking me to be obedient. I'm going to be obedient. And those are the faith bolstering moments.
And even online, we had one guy who Sunday was his first time in the building.
Wow.
He's only ever attended Northridge online, but wanted to be baptized. I interviewed him last week Tom Walls. And then Sunday he showed up and stepped into the baptistry.
Yeah. Yeah. The amount of people that I interviewed that were like, you know, I've just never done it and I need to do it. And was just incredible of like, they've been following Jesus for years, but for whatever reason, like literally we talked about Will, you know, really large gentleman, really tall, broad, muscular gentleman. Like, he's been following Jesus for a long time. And I literally looked at Will and I said, Will, what have you been waiting on? And so just really cool stories from Sunday. So let's talk a little bit about like a lot of these people got baptized, but who should be baptized? Thinking about your message, because we're gonna skip the sermon in 60 because you could just say, "What is baptism? Get baptized." There it is. Boom! I did it. but who should be baptized?
Yeah, I think you know there's a lot of like conversation about, you know, if you see the spectrum of churches, there's kids being baptized, there's babies being baptized, there's adults being baptized. I like to say it like this because it's the clearest, I think you can say it, is we baptize believers. So literally, there's only one prerequisite, is that my message? you have to know the gospel, understand the gospel, and believe the gospel, mm-hmm. right? And if you are old enough to understand the gospel, to embrace it and believe it, you can be baptized. And I think for every kid, that's a different age, right? Probably mm-hmm. for me, I got baptized when I was 7. And I remember that moment like it was yesterday. It was mm-hmm. such a springboard for my faith. But I think there are some kids that you interview and you're like, hey, I think one of the hardest things to say to somebody is, I think you should wait.
Mm, yeah.
Right. But that's maybe one of the most powerful things you can say. And so mm-hmm. I just think it's as real clear as we baptize believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do appreciate the process, like you mentioned before. So for me to walk with Marsh and say, whoa, you know, just how well it was organized. But there's also people, you know, clearly, you know, interviewing people and mm-hmm. making sure, yes, they understand the gospel. And certainly we've had people who've shown up who didn't understand the gospel until they got interviewed. Yeah. And when the gospel was laid out to them, they embraced it, yeah. and a minute later, they're getting baptized.
That's right. I love those stories.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think that's really just fascinating. You know, you're thinking, like, who's ready? And the spectrum of people that, of ages, that are ready or not ready. You know, because I interviewed 12-year-olds that were, like, not a clue. You know, mm-hmm. like, they were not ready, but then we also had 8-year-olds going through the process that they clearly could articulate the gospel and knew what it was, and mm-hmm. Were ready to be baptized.
And what's so hard sometimes is when you interview even adults, you get clammy, you're nervous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you know, it's hard sometimes to like, oh wait, I'm your nerves take over and you say things. You're like, oh wait, like I was nervous for Joelle because I had talked to her about the gospel. I've asked her the questions. You know, I've interviewed her probably 20 times just to make sure she has, you mm-hmm. know, a relationship with Jesus. And she just like, bam, bam, bam. But I was nervous she would get
stage
in an interview
fright. Yeah.
and just go cold. Uh-huh. But, you know, again, that's where Spirit of God takes over, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's amazing. And so what is baptism in that regard? So if who should be baptized is those who can clearly articulate the gospel and believe in it, then what exactly is this moment of getting in water and getting dunked?
Yeah, I mean, it's a symbol. It mm-hmm. really is just a symbol of what's happened in your heart. It's a symbol of Jesus's cross and his resurrection that you believe in and you identifying with that and saying, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus the rest of my life. And this is the moment where I declare that in water, being immersed as Jesus. So you're following Jesus's example. He was baptized. You're identifying with Christ and what he accomplished for you. And I think there's a moment where God identifies with you and says, hey, this is my son or this is my daughter. And I think all those things are happening. I think it will be interesting in heaven when people get baptized, what happens. And we'll have a full, even a greater picture of all that takes place. Mm-hmm. But I think from an earthly perspective, it is just a symbol of your trust and your belief in Christ and what he accomplished for
it's
you.
It's a visual picture of you know, dying, buried, and resurrecting, which Jesus did on behalf of us, but we also died to sins, raised in newness of life.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Illustration, a picture, beautiful symbol, a step of obedience, right? Because what Jesus commanded, and like we always point out, not necessary for salvation. Salvation is done, completed before then. Mm. You know, thief on the cross, prime example, someone
who
was
saved.
And I think
that's why people probably push off baptism because it
could
feel like
optional,
or just
optional.
Not even that big of a deal, right? Uh-huh. Like I'm saved. Like what's so special about the water and going under? But I do believe there is something significantly special about it.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I understand that, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can. I think that's a God thing, and I think there it's just significant in your life. It's a moment that I often come back to when I struggle, like, hey, I publicly said that I'm following Jesus, and it's just a reminder, it's accountability, but I think there is something supernatural about it.
Hmm. That's really good. You know, like, I was telling you guys before that I'm in a class right now, literally all on baptism, and there are some faith traditions. And I think Brad, you really highlighted that, like that based on our perspective that we think the Bible presents on baptism, it could be really easy to push off, right? It's like, oh, it's just a symbol. It's like, oh, well, if it's just a symbol, then
Right.
What's it matter? Like, right. you know, if it's not going to be like, you know, like the Catholic Church saying it's one of the sacraments, like if you want to make sure that you make it to heaven, you better take advantage of all the sacraments that you yeah. can. Right. So it'd be like, okay, I need to get baptized, you know, in that regard. Or, you know, if you're at other churches that believe in baptismal, like salvation, that you got to be, baptized in order to be saved. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, it's a no brainer in those contexts. But for us, it's like, we think the Bible clearly presents a symbolic baptism, doctrine there. But you, Drew, as highlighting, there's something else going on, you know, in the Reformed tradition, they believe in the visible and invisible theology, and they have an invisible theology of baptism where they think, like, they just kind of present, like, there's something else that happens, even though we don't really know what that yeah. is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really significant if you look at Paul's letters in Romans 6, Colossians 2, where he's talking about, like, what is happening mm-hmm. is that death to sin, that burial, that mm-hmm. resurrection, that identification with Jesus as God the Father yeah. from heaven says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Like, this identifier, this public mm-hmm. identifier, that the reason that we talk about public baptism of you are going in front of your mm-hmm. church community, your yeah. church family, saying, I am a follower of Jesus, mm-hmm. hold me accountable. You're getting baptized into this church context, but also the global capital C church. So there's so many things that, you know, Eugene Peterson in his book, Letters to a Young Pastor, mm-hmm. is writing to his son, Eric. Wow. And his son, Eric, who also is a pastor, and they're exchanging letters back and forth. And Eugene Peterson says, like, if I could only get my people to understand the significance of their baptism, they would be a better disciple.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that's what he says in that. He said, if I could only get my people to understand the significance of their baptism, they would be a better disciple.
I love the discussion about the mysteriousness of it, because I agree that there are mysteries. It just highlights faith, right? We obey. We take steps of obedience. We don't have to understand everything that God accomplishes or doing, right. but we proceed in obedience.
Because there's this moment of, like, and there's even people who, you know, have been baptized at a younger age. Like, I started following Jesus, but I really didn't understand what was going on. And for a lot of those people, if they're in that place, they're like, then I need to be rebaptized again, because obviously I wasn't genuinely saved. Mm-hmm. And I try to always in those counseling scenarios back up a little bit and say, like, well, just because you didn't understand everything doesn't mean you weren't genuinely saved.
Yeah.
You know, because, like,
I still don't understand.
I don't understand everything. Like, and so or the mantra a lot of times for younger kids, which we've had this conversation on our staff, is like, well, what if they don't get all of it? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I don't think they're going to get all of it. I don't think adults getting in that water get all of it. You know, like, we have people still trying to grasp, you know, elementary things of the faith that have been walking with Jesus for some years that they should be getting already. And so there's this element of, like, you know, I think about my salvation and baptism when I was 10 of not understanding the significance, right? As that Eugene Peterson, as what you've said, Drew, like, not understand the genuine depth and the gravity of, like, wow, that's what my baptism meant. But I'm confident in my salvation, you know, decision of Christ drawing me. I went forward in that, and I prayed that prayer. I was confident in that. Now, my baptism, I know it happened 2 weeks later. I can't even replay it in my mind, but I know pictures, and I'm like, that there was significance there.
For sure.
I know my salvation moment. I know I was baptized. Mm. But in light of that, like, the understanding what happened is coming after, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be this for some people, you know, being emotion driven. More people, like, it's like, well, I didn't feel anything, and I came up. You hear people's stories like, I came up out of the water and I felt like a new person. That doesn't happen for everybody. That's okay.
You do. I mean, you run into this a lot, right? People might maybe have, you know, wandered away from God or backslidden, and they feel like, well, I need to be baptized.
Their answer is like, let me get baptized. I'm going to rededicate my life.
No, that your original baptism is valid. But I can think of many points in my life where my understanding of salvation has taken a leap forward, right? When I was eight, when I was 7 years old, I mean, I was it was just fire insurance. That was it. I was like, oh, we die, we go to heaven or hell. How do I go to heaven? You know, oh, Jesus. You know, that...
There's two choices. I'll take that one. Like, right. It's like...
And then, but to realize later, I've, you know, said it before, it's just how sinful I am, you know? I mean, it's just like, holy cow, I never knew I was that sinful. How holy is God? Holy cow, I never knew he was that holy. I still haven't. I still don't fully appreciate how sinful I am. I still don't fully appreciate how holy he is. I still have an inkling only of his love. Yeah. But that doesn't mean my salvation isn't valid.
Right. Yeah. And you look at, I think what's really interesting and fascinating, like the Apostle Paul, like you talked about the Apostle Paul on Sunday, is if you look at his letters and map them out of youngest to oldest, if you will, the later letters that were dated, you think you look at those slight variations of wording of how he talked about himself and how he talked about Jesus. It almost like there's this depth of, in a good way, this separation that's taking place of like him starting to talk like, I'm filthy rags, I'm the chief of sinners. Like he starts talking about that in those later letters, not saying that those earlier letters are
so. Like Galatians is one of the earlier ones, right?
Yeah, which is when and he tells his testimony story.
And he's like touting his credentials.
Touting his credentials. And then you look at one of the last letters in the jail cell, Philippi. He's like, mine's filthy rags. Like to be with Christ is good. To die is gain. And he's using some of that language. Now that may not all be like scholarly accurate, but just thinking about how Paul thought about himself as he walked with Christ. And so,
well, and even on the topic of ignorance, right? What does God ask of us? Childlike faith, right? Sometimes ignorance might be the best thing. You know, sometimes not that we want to remain ignorant, but you know, we don't have to know everything. I think sometimes in this pursuit to know everything, we run into stumbling blocks because there's certain things that God doesn't reveal to us, and it can cause frustration or like a lack of trust in God because he doesn't tell us the whole story. And I just think there's something beautiful about the faith of a child, right? A faith that a child just needs to know, like, hey, you were lost, you were sinful, and that separated you from God, but Jesus made a way and through his cross and resurrection, and a child saying, I want to know.
I'll take that. I want to know Jesus.
There's just something so beautiful and simple about the gospel and about childlike faith. And, you know, I think as we mature, allowing our knowledge to mature, but still holding on to that childlike faith that would say, that seems not logical and that seems kind of stupid. But this childlike faith is saying, I'm gonna trust God anyway.
Yeah.
So that balance there of those two things is, I think, a beautiful rhythm.
Nice. That's amazing. Well, talk to the people just very briefly who have not made that step of faith, who have not been baptized yet, but through all the watching, all the listening, and even listening to this podcast, are like, you know what? I made a mistake. I should have got baptized on Sunday. I'm one of you. Or do I have to wait till? When's the next open baptism? Like, what do they do in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, that's simple. You just let us know. You can go to iwant.info. You can email anybody on staff and just say, hey, I want to be baptized, you know, and we have a process. Someone will reach out to you, probably your wife, Daniel.
Yeah, my wife will reach out to you.
Or Jason will reach out, and we'll set up an interview. So the process is the same. It's just not all in one day.
Right.
It'll happen, and we will baptize you. We will be honored and privileged. So there's people who are going to share their story later on throughout the year through baptism. So, yeah, don't wait any longer, though, right? Like, put your name in, let us follow up with you, and let's get it done, right? Stop living in disobedience. Let's start walking in obedience.
That's amazing. Well, tell us a little bit. We just finished up a church that, right? It's over. Let's be that church now. What's coming next? What's coming for the month of November for the series, or even if you want to talk about the next two series that'll take us to the end of the year?
Yeah, sure.
What's coming?
So we got, I'll talk you through Christmas. We have a series starting called Getting to Know Your Bible, which I think is actually kind of unique following open baptism. It's just a series on the Bible, how it was made, how it was created, the books in it, the different literature, the main message. So it's really a series on knowing your Bible and learning how to read it and understand it. Mm. Because the Bible is a very complex book. So we're going to break it down in 4 weeks. Daniel, you're actually starting that this weekend.
This Sunday, yep.
It's going to be an awesome series. I think it'll be a really helpful series. And then out of that, we're going to launch into the Christmas season with a series called Where Are You Christmas? An ode to Cindy Lou Who.
I was singing, about to start singing.
Singing that song, Where Are You Christmas?
Okay.
You went higher than I did, so right. I was going to match that. And then we're just talking about, like, you know, if you've ever watched The Grinch, you know, this character Cindy Lou Who is kind of frustrated with the traditions of Christmas, and she's kind of in pursuit, like, what is Christmas all about?
Yeah.
And so we're going to look at the Christmas story and see the people who kind of missed it and why they missed it and challenge us not to miss this Christmas season.
I'm excited for this Christmas series, mainly because, excuse me, it's kind of the stories or the people. We're focusing in on the people who don't get a lot of airplay at Christmas because of the fact that for most chances, they kind of miss the point, right? Yeah. Like we're not preaching a message on like Mary, you know, or even like Elizabeth or kind of some of these main characters that like, they were the ones who believed. We're kind of focusing on the ones that were kind of like, meh, like about Christmas, and they were right there, but they missed it, and so it's really exciting.
It's gonna be good.
Yeah, so we're really excited. Well, thanks so much for listening to this episode of A Little Better. We can't wait to hang out with you again next week.